to start with a thinking exercise this morning, and I know that it's early, and I know that it's the weekend. Am I good? All right, I know that it's early. I know that it's the weekend. I don't think it's going to be too terribly hard because we're only a couple of days into the year, but what I want you to do is I want you to think for a second about any kind of resolution or goal that you set for yourself this year. All right, it doesn't have to be an official one that you wrote down somewhere. It doesn't have to be one that you told somebody or posted. I just want you to think about goals that you might have set for yourself this year. Things that you wanted to accomplish, things that you wanted to do in your life or through your life or whatever. Just sort of get those goals in mind. And what we're going to do is we're going to look around the room and see what kind of people that we have sitting in here. Okay, I'll ask you a question about your goals in a minute. And if that is you, just raise your hand. Okay, so if it's you, raise your hand so we're all sort of in this thing and sort of doing it together, okay? We're going to practice just to make sure that we're all awake and have things going on. So this doesn't have to do with a goal. This is just to make sure we understand when you're supposed to raise your hand. If you were in the room this morning, go ahead, raise your hand. Okay, I think you guys got it. Good. All right, so this is our resolutions this year. Some of these might have nobody raise their hand, and that's okay. Some of them might have one or two. If that's you, be proud. Own it, all right? Some of you, maybe it's everybody. I don't know. We'll see, okay? Here's the first one. Who made a resolution this year to, in some area of your life, be a little more organized? Did anybody do that this year? Wow, okay, more than I thought. That's good. That's good. A lot of us did that. Good. All right, here's another one. Who made a resolution this year, and we're not telling parents anything that's said in here, okay? This is between me and you. Who made a resolution this year to be a better student and to stop procrastinating? Maybe study a little bit more, okay? Come on, high scores. Way more middle scores. Good job, guys. I'm proud of y'all. Very nice. All right, who made a resolution this year to eat better? That was one of my big ones. All right, I'm trying to eat better this year so y'all can hold me accountable when you see me eating something I shouldn't. Who made a resolution this year to work out? Good luck. Good luck. That's all I got to say with that. All right, here's an interesting one, and I'm curious about how students are going to answer this, okay? Middle school, high school, college, I'm curious. Adults, I think that I sort of know where you're coming from, but who made a resolution this year to either be smarter or to work on saving money? Be smarter with their money or save money? Any students make that? Handful of adults, good. A lot of students, I like that. Okay, very nice. Who made a resolution this year just to be a nicer person? Anybody say, I should be nicer to people in my life? Okay, so yeah, you're already nice. That's good. You can't get any nicer. You're already there. I like that. That's good. All right, now here we go. All right, we saw what's going on. So this next one, all right, I'm asking for honesty here. And when I answer or ask the question and you guys answer it, I need you guys to look around the room to sort of see what's going on. All right, here's the question. How many of you have already, and you're not throwing in the towel here, but how many of you have already failed on at least one of the things that you set out to do this year? Raise your hand if you've already slipped up. We're 10 days into the year, okay? I should have both hands up. There's two areas where I've sort of messed up already. Okay, so as we look around the room, all right, we realize that people mess up. One of my resolutions was to eat healthier this year, and I've done a pretty good job most days. In fact, Chelsea and I went out Friday night to celebrate our anniversary. 9 years, we're almost to double digits. We're making progress, okay? And so at the restaurant, right, I ate really, really well. I got a salad with very little, almost no salad dressing on it. So I thought that was a win. That was a good thing. And then, instead of ordering a steak or something like that that I would really have liked, I ordered grilled fish and steamed broccoli. No butter on the broccoli, no seasoning on the broccoli, just straight up steamed broccoli and grilled fish. And that was my meal, and I was doing really, really well. And all of a sudden, something happened. And I'm not sure when, and I'm not sure how, but at the end of the meal, I found myself holding a plate in my hands, licking chocolate cake and icing off of the plate at the end of the meal, and I feel like I saw my reflection in the plate as I licked up chocolate, and I just wondered, how did I get here? What happened? I was doing so well, and the waiter came out and asked if I wanted a chocolate cake for free because it was our anniversary, and I don't know what happened. I must have said yes, and I must have eaten it, and I'm looking at the plate, and I look over the plate, and Chelsea's looking at me like, what are you doing? And I didn't know what I was doing, but it was a reminder to me as I wiped chocolate off of my face and off of my hands. It was a reminder that people fail. right? That people mess up. A lot of times we set out with amazing intentions and we set out to do things that we really want to do, but something happens and we slip up and we mess up and we find ourselves in a place that we never intended to be. So we're going to open up God's Word this morning. If you've got your Bible, flip it open to the beginning again, all right? We're in the first book of the Bible in Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to see that, guys, people fail. And there, a lot of times they do so with a lot more on the line than just chocolate cake. But as we walk through Scripture this morning, as we walk through our Bibles, this is what I want you guys to remember. Okay, this is what I want you guys to walk away with. Every single time, and we're going to see it over and over and over again, guys, when we fail, God is faithful. Okay, when we fail, God is faithful, and He's there. He doesn't change, which means that He is always faithful in our hearts and in our lives. All right, with our Bibles open, let's go to the Lord in prayer and then begin reading God's Word together. If you would bow your head and close your eyes and just say a quick prayer, ask God to open His Word to you this morning. Ask God to teach you through His Word. Ask God to soften your heart. Let those words come through your heart right now to God. Ask God to soften your heart so that His Word can make an impact in your life today. God, we love You. And God, we thank You that when we fail, You're faithful. God, we thank You that You are unchanging, which means that You are always faithful in our hearts and in our lives. And God, this morning, Lord, I pray that You would open Your Word to us. And God, that You would show us what we can do in those times and those seasons in life, God, when we mess up. Lord, we love You and we thank You. It's in Your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right, so Genesis chapter 3, that's where we're starting, okay? And leading up to Genesis chapter 3, this is what's happened, right? God's created everything. He's created the world. He's created Adam and Eve. He's put them in the garden. And here's the cool thing. Think about if you were Adam and Eve and what God has just done. He's created everything. Then He's created you. Then He's created a wife for you. So you're there in the garden together. You're in paradise. It's perfection, right? Everything that you could possibly need. And then God goes a step farther and God says, you know what? Everything you see in this garden is yours. The plants, the fruit, the vegetables, everything you see is yours. And then God said, you know what? All those birds, all those fish, God, they're yours. And then all the animals on the ground, all the animals in the garden, they are all yours. The entire world I've given to you. And one more thing, be fruitful and multiply. Make babies, right? That's what they were told to do when they were created and placed in the Garden of Eden. That's their job. That's their life. I can't think of a better situation to be in than where Adam and Eve started. It was all theirs. And God told them they could do anything that they wanted. They could have anything that they wanted except for one thing. He said, don't eat from the tree, right? That one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All right, Genesis 3, verse 6. Let's see how Adam and Eve did. It says, so when the woman, that's Eve, saw that the tree they were not supposed to eat from, was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make someone wise, Eve took of its fruit and she ate it. She failed in that moment, guys. And also she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it, and he failed in that moment. Let me tell you what happened. Everybody up here, this is what happened with Adam and Eve. Guys, they ignored the words of God. They ignored the words of God, and they stepped into sin. Right? That was the first time that sin made its presence known on this earth, was when they ignored the words of God. They did what they wanted, what they thought was right. They did what they thought would look good. Guys, and the consequences of that we're still feeling today. Guys, they failed and brought sin into the world. And here's the deal. It didn't stop there. All right, turn to Genesis chapter 4. That pattern of sin continued. That pattern of ignoring the words of God continued in their kids, right? We see it in Cain and Abel, right? Cain and Abel, Adam and Eve's kids, two brothers, they brought offerings before God, and the Bible tells us that God was pleased, that God was satisfied, that God was glorified with what Abel offered up to Him. But it wasn't the case with Cain, right? And we know, as we read elsewhere in the Bible, as we look at it in the New Testament, we know that God wasn't pleased with Cain's heart as he offered up an offering before God. All right, and so Cain burned with anger. As we read through Genesis chapter 4, you know what we see? We see a God that loves Cain, a God that comes to Cain, a God that warns Cain, a God that tells Cain, listen, don't give in to sin. You've got to fight this. You've got to turn your heart back to me. Don't let it take you to a place that you don't need to go. And look at what happened. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 8, Cain, just like Adam and Eve, ignored the word of God in his life. Genesis 4:8 says this, Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his own brother, Abel, and killed him. He killed his brother, not because of anything his brother had done to him, but because of his anger and his jealousy, because of the way that God looked at Abel. Guys, Cain failed. Cain sinned. And here's the bad news for us. It didn't stop there, right? That cycle continued, right? That cycle of people messing up continued through the generations after them, all the way to the generations leading up to Noah. Remember Noah? He built the ark, brought the animals on it two by two for the flood. Okay, so the generations leading up to Noah, I read this verse this weekend, and think about this verse, guys, right? This describes the people on earth in the times of Noah. We know that Adam and Eve failed. We know that Cain failed. We know that sin is in this world, and it was starting to get worse and worse and worse. Think about the people that were on the earth and their hearts, as I read this verse. Flip over to Genesis 6, right? So two more chapters. We're still in the beginning, and we're seeing this pattern of people messing up. Genesis 6:5 says this, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, right? That enough is a powerful statement, right? And it shows how sin has spread from that first sin, right, to all the people of the earth. But the second half of this verse is crazy. It says, in the every intention and the thoughts of man's heart was only evil all the time. Think about that. That's the place that we got to on earth in the times of Noah. Every intention of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil all the time. That's where they were at, right? Guys, people fail. People mess up. And here's the deal. That's the first six chapters, right? That happens in Genesis chapter 6. We could trace that through the rest of the Bible. And we could see people messing up over and over and over again. This pattern of sin in our life, people ignoring God's word and choosing what they want over God's word and leading them into sin. We could follow it through the Bible. We could follow it throughout history. We could follow it to Houston last night and just turn on the news this morning and see the people that were hurt overnight and the things that happened overnight in our own city. Guys, there's this pattern over and over and over again where people fail. And honestly, guys, that's our first point for this morning. And it's not a fun one. It's not an exciting one. But guys, it's a reality of our world. Guys, people fail. Now, if you're taking notes, that's point one. People fail. We just heard about the people from the Old Testament that fail, right? Adam and Eve, Cain killing Abel, the people in the times of Noah. It happens. But it's not just people of the Bible. Guys, I fail, right? I mess up. I ate the cake the other night. That's sort of a silly way. You know, you could talk to my wife. She's probably got a list of areas. Probably top of the list would be the way I put away my clothes or don't put away my clothes. I mess up there. But guys, I mess up in real ways, right? Just like all of us do. There's times in my life where I get angry, right? And where I do things that don't honor the Lord out of anger. There's times in my life where God gives me incredible opportunities to show grace to people that need grace in my life, and I miss it. Or I ignore it and I fail. There's times where God gives me the opportunity to extend love to someone that needs a touch from Christ. There's times where God gives me the opportunity to be bold and to open my mouth in situations and I miss it or I ignore it or I'm so consumed or caught up with what I want, I don't even see it and I fail, right? There's only one person that's ever been perfect on this world and I'm not him, okay? And you guys aren't either. The same way that I fail, you guys fail, right? There's areas in your life, and you might be thinking of them now, right? There's areas in our lives where we all mess up, all right? David in the Bible, the guy that killed Goliath with the slingshot, right? He's called a man after God's own heart. And this man after God's own heart, the Bible also tells us that he committed adultery, that he lied, that he committed murder, right? Some things that we would say are pretty big deals, right? All from a man that's after God's own heart. People fail. Paul in the New Testament, right? One of the heroes of our faith, the greatest missionary of all time. He wrote a ton of the New Testament. Guys, listen to what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 7. Paul wrote about himself and his life, for I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. Guys, it's obvious that he struggled with sin in his life as well too, guys. People fail. And here's the thing, right? At some level, it's a little bit comforting, right, to know that we're not alone. Everybody raised their hand at the very beginning when we asked if anybody's messed up on their resolution. So we sort of saw that we're among a group of imperfect people, okay, that we all fail. I'd feel a little bit weird if I walked in here every Sunday morning around a group of totally perfect people knowing that I was the only one that failed. And by the way, if you walk in here on Sunday mornings and you think that you're around a group of perfect people, they're faking it, okay? It's not real. Everybody fails. Everybody messes up. That's a part of our life, guys. That's why we need Jesus. So it might be comforting to know that everybody failed, but let me tell you why that's a problem, guys. It's a big, big problem for us because that failure, that sin in our life, it separates us from what we were created for, right? The sin in our life separates you and me from what God created us for, and that's that relationship with him. So guys, our first two points aren't very fun. It's people fail, and point number two is this: sin separates, right? Sin separates us from the relationship that we were designed to have with God. And let me say a few things about that. First is this, guys: sin separates unbelievers. Sin separates people that aren't Christians. It separates them eternally. Right? It separates them eternally from God. The Bible teaches us, right, that if Jesus never intercedes for our sins, or if we never accept Jesus' payment for our sins, what he did on the cross, and we die apart from Jesus, then we're going to spend an eternity separated from God. It's separated from the love of God. Guys, that's a big deal. And as we know that, as we're reminded of God, that should burn in our hearts, right? That should hurt. As we walk into our schools every day, right? As we walk into our schools week after week and we see people that don't know Jesus, guys, that should hurt us. That should hurt our hearts. We should have a burden for them that they would know Jesus, that they would experience the forgiveness that we've experienced as well. Moms and dads, as we go into work, as we see the people that our kids hang out with and we know there's some of them that don't know Jesus, that should hurt us. Right? We should have a burden on our heart for them to see them experience the same love and hope in Jesus that we've experienced. Guys, sin separates people that never know Jesus. It separates them eternally from God. Guys, sin has consequences. It has consequences, but it doesn't just separate believers. It doesn't just affect unbelievers. Guys, sin has an effect in the life of a Christian as well. Do you know that? Or if you're a Christian this morning, yeah, sin can have an effect in your life. What sin can do to you is sin can interrupt, right, or disrupt the intimacy that you once had with God. Listen, as sin creeps into the life of a Christian, as sin creeps into the life of a believer, it can cause problems, right? It can interrupt the fellowship that you had with God. And I want to be very clear. I want to make sure that you guys understand this. Every eye up here, God does not go anywhere in that time. All right. God does not look at you and say, I can't believe they're doing that. I'm out of here. That does not happen. All right. What happens as sin creeps into our life is that we allow our hearts to get hardened towards God. We allow sin to take over in a place where we once let God have control. And as that happens, we become less sensitive to the will and to the actions of the Holy Spirit in our lives and more consumed with our flesh and what we want. Guys, think about this. Have you ever seen somebody, or maybe it's you, all right, maybe you've had a time in your life like this. Have you ever seen somebody that's been walking so closely with the Lord, and over a period of time, you look into their life and you see, you know what? They don't act like they're following Jesus at all right now. It doesn't seem like they have any connection with God at all right now. It doesn't seem like they're focused on Jesus at all right now. Guys, God hasn't left them, right? God hasn't removed himself from their life, but they've allowed their lives to get hardened, their hearts to get hardened towards the will of God in their life. They've allowed sin to disrupt the intimacy, to disrupt the fellowship that they've had with God. All right? And I just want to push pause. I want everybody to think for a second, okay? I'm going to give you guys a chance to reflect on this and to think about your life. We're 10 days into the year. Guys, how are we doing? How are we doing? All right, I'm not naive to think that there's not people in this room too that are struggling with sin in their lives. I know that there's people in this room that have an issue that they've been battling, or have a sin that they might be struggling with, or have something that they just wish was not a part of their life so they could have fellowship with God again the way that they used to, so that they could sense the presence of God in their life, so they could walk closely with Jesus again. Guys, I'm gonna do something we don't normally do, all right? We're not done, and I want to tell us how to respond to when we fail in a minute, but if that's you, I just want everybody to bow your heads real quick, all right? I don't want you talking to anybody else. I don't want you distracting anybody. I don't want you to think about anything else. I just want you to think, you, not about anybody else. I want you to think about you and your relationship with God. Think about you and your walk with Jesus. All right. And these are questions that I asked myself this week, that I wrestled with this week as we thought about how people mess up and how God is always faithful to us. And so I went through the same thing that I'm asking you guys to do this morning. And I just want you to take a second and open up your heart to God. Ask God to show you areas in your life that don't line up with His word. Ask God to reveal to you any areas where you might be struggling with sin, where you might be failing, where you might be messing up. Head bowed, eyes closed. This is you and God right now. Take this time. Open your hearts up to God. Maybe you're in a relationship where you're ignoring God's word and you're allowing sin to dominate your life. Maybe your activity online is ignoring God's word and consuming your mind and consuming your heart. Maybe you're disobedient and dishonorable towards your parents, and you want what you want, and you're not listening to your mom and dad, and you're ignoring God's command to honor and to be obedient to your parents. And that sin is creeping into your life. Maybe you're just spiritually lazy. Maybe that's it. Maybe you're just ignoring what God's got going on in your life. Maybe you're ignoring what He's called you to do. Maybe you're just not opening His word. Guys, whatever it is, open your heart up to God right now and begin to deal with that. Confess that to God. Tell Him you're sorry. Ask Him to remove that from your life and to restore your focus and your heart to Him. Guys, sin's real. It affects our lives. It affects who we are. It affects what we do. And guys, it needs to be dealt with. It needs to be dealt with when it comes up. Guys, every eye up here, just real quick, look this way. Guys, when we fail, God is faithful. All right, when we fail, God is faithful. It doesn't matter what you were thinking about just now. When we fail, God's faithful. When these things come into our hearts and into our lives, guys, don't be beaten down by it. Remember that God is faithful. In Romans 6:23, the Bible tells us that the things that we just thought about, that sin that we just thought about, that it, what it's earned for us is death. But the gift that God's given us is life in Jesus. In Romans 5:8, it says this, but God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And this is one of my favorite verses, guys. 2 Timothy 3:13 says this. Guys, if we are faithless, right, if we're faithless, God remains faithful because He cannot deny Himself. Listen, if you're a believer and you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, guys, God is faithful. God's faithful to you. Listen, it's easy sometimes to focus on our failure. It's easy sometimes to focus on our sin. And when that happens, we might get depressed. We might feel down, right? We might get to a place where we give in or we give up and we think that we can't do it anymore. Guys, don't focus on the failure. Don't focus on the sin in your life. Instead, focus on God and remember, guys, that God is faithful. That's our third point, guys. And that's how we deal with one and two. That's how we deal with our failure. That's how we deal with the sin that separates us in our life. It's by remembering, guys, that God is faithful. And here's the thing. It's not just something that we say that God is faithful. We open up God's word and we can see over and over and over again that God is active, right? He is actively faithful. He's showing us all the time how He's faithful in our lives. And so we're going to spend a couple minutes looking at how God is faithful and then seeing how we can respond to His faithfulness. Guys, this is what we need to do in those moments or those times in our lives when we mess up. When we find ourselves wrestling with sin or wrestling with some kind of failure that's happened, all right? The first thing, the first way that God shows He's faithful is this, is God pursues us. God pursues us. He runs after us. He chases us. Back in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve messed up. God didn't wipe out the garden. God didn't ignore them. God didn't forsake them. God pursued them. God found them. God went to them. God did not make them come back to him. God went to them and said, "Where are you?" Those comforting words of a God that is chasing after us. He provided comfort for them. He showed compassion towards them. He showed that he cared about them, right? And we can trace that all the way through the Bible, seeing how God continues to pursue us to the point to where God pursued us out of heaven with Jesus. When Jesus came to earth, Jesus actually said that his role, his mission, he came to seek, right? Jesus came to seek, to pursue, to seek and to save the lost. God's pursuing us. So guys, God's faithful that in the midst of our sin, he's pursuing you, chasing after you. How do you respond when God pursues? Stop. Stop running. All right, that's how we respond to a God that is chasing after us. Stop running away from him, right? Just stop. Right? God is chasing after you. Stop and allow him to overcome you and his grace to overcome you and his love to overcome you. If there's sin in your life right now and you're taking more and more steps away from God as a result of that sin, guys, remember God's faithful. He's chasing after you. So just stop. Stop. Whatever it is that you're doing, just stop. And turn your heart back towards God. Stop running away from God and turn your heart towards God. Stop doing things to draw you away from God and start spending time with God. Start reading your Bible. Start praying. Allow people that love you and that love Jesus to speak into your heart and into your life. All right, second way God shows that he's faithful is this, guys. God provides. All right, God provides for us even in the midst of our sin. Right? Look back at Adam and Eve again. All right? They're hiding in the trees. Why are they hiding in the trees? They're naked, right? They're ashamed of what they've done. God goes to them and God provided coverings for them, right? God killed an animal, right? And allowed that animal skin to become what they wore. God allowed that animal skin to cover their bodies so they could step out from the trees and back towards God. Guys, that skin, that animal skin, it covered their shame. But here's a really cool thing for us. Right? It foreshadows what God did for us through Jesus on the cross. Think about that. Innocent animals had to die so that they could step out of the trees and be near God again. In the same way that God provided a covering for Adam and Eve's shame, guys, God provided a covering for our sin with Jesus on the cross. Right? Jesus died for our sins so that they could be wiped clean and we could be forgiven. Guys, God provides an answer for our sins. And the third way we see God being faithful is this. Guys, God promises. All right, God promises us that he's going to deal with sin once and for all again, back in Genesis 3. Those first words that God's speaking to Adam and to Eve, and by the way, to the serpent who was still right there with them. God promises an answer for sin once and for all. God promises that he's going to send someone to take away the sins of the world, guys, and that's Jesus. So as we see the promises of God in our lives, as we see that God is faithful with the promises that he gives us, guys, our response is simple. It's trust. Trust in Jesus. Trust in the promises of God. He promises. We need to trust in his promises. We need to trust that our sin is dealt with. We need to trust that he's given us the power through the Holy Spirit in our lives to dwell in him and to overcome sin that's in our lives. Not through our strength, not through our power, but through what God has promised us in Jesus. Listen, guys, we're built, we're wired in a way that we have to believe something, right? We're going to believe in things. Guys, if we don't believe the truth, if we don't believe the promises of God, then eventually we're going to begin believing the lies of this world, and things are going to start all over for us again. Guys, trust in the promises of God. And remember, guys, that our failure is never final, because when we fail, God is faithful. Something that happened in the first 10 days of this year is not going to be what defines your year. One thing in your life, or one season in your life, one failure in your life is not going to define your life. Guys, allow the faithfulness of God to define your lives. Guys, when we fail, God is faithful. Don't ever forget how much God loves you and the things that he does over and over to prove his faithfulness to you in the midst of any season of your life.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things He created instead of Him. We have chosen to reject His authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things He created instead of Him, which is ultimately pointless given that He is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against Him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access Him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before He forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and He took upon our punishment on Himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in Him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without Him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.